give this drasha. I was at the Moises' for lunch, so I gave a little sneak preview. I said I'm going to discuss the topic and really present both opinions, so it'll make everybody happy. I'll make everybody a little annoyed. I'm not going to knock any opinion. But hopefully I will give enough fortification for anyone who wants to continue doing what they're doing. You can do it with confidence, and you won't be swayed by people that are against what you're doing and only will side one side of the issue. You know, there's an old joke, two Jews, three opinions. And within halacha itself, of course, debate among authorities is a long and established tradition. What must be the basis of halacha discussion in the first place, however, is the acceptance of the halacha as the standard from which the various opinions flow. We'll start from that premise, and then we'll see how different authorities interpret it in different manners. I'd like to briefly discuss, in this vein, various opinions regarding the observance of Thanksgiving by religious Jews. Is it prohibited? Is it permitted? Are there in-between positions? As an aside, let me mention, personally, I was born in Chicago, and then I grew up in New York, where although we always heard about the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, and more importantly for me, the big Thanksgiving Day football game with the Detroit Lions. Somehow it's always Detroit, I don't know why. But I never realized how fundamental Thanksgiving is for Americans until 30 years ago, 1980, I was disabused of my ignorance because I went to Boston for that Thanksgiving. It was an OU convention, and in Boston, a lot of people I knew were all going up to Boston. You got to go up to Boston for Thanksgiving. So I followed the crowd exactly 30 years ago. And somehow everyone I knew from Boston was talking about the Thanksgiving dinner. Where are you having it? What are you having? Where's it going to be? And for the first time in my life, I realized how in certain sectors of America, Thanksgiving is a very, very important day. Now, much of what I will quote has already been cited 15 years ago. You know, today, the din of Ha'omer Dover B'Shem Omro isn't just citing a person you hear from, but you also cite the source in terms of books. So there's a Rabbi Michael Broyd wrote an article 15 years ago in the Journal of Halacha and Contemporary Society on this topic. I will add some observations and points of my own, but that's a very good place to start any serious discussion. The first point to recognize is that a Jew may not celebrate a formal Christian holiday even if he or she does not believe in the tenets of the Christian religion. Okay, so a Jew really should not celebrate Christmas. It's not right to have a Christmas tree in your house. A Jew certainly should not celebrate idolatrous holidays. So let me make one thing, as President Nixon used to say, perfectly clear. Even if we're very sophisticated, we know the Meiri that says Christianity is not formal Avodah Zarah. That is true, but it's still a different religion. So a Jew should not celebrate Christmas, even if you claim it's not, Christianity is not formally polytheistic. One certainly should not attend a Hindu office party, for example, or even facilitate its observance. One should not attend a birthday party for an idolater if the birthday party entails worship of idols. That's not a good thing either. I'm setting these basic ideas up so we'll have the parameters of our discussion. If you don't accept these parameters, then, you know, if you go to your Hindu party in which, you know, you'll have devotions to Hare Krishna, probably you're not going to see anything bad about having some turkey and cranberry sauce. Now, moreover, one may not observe idolatrous customs, again, as I said before, even if you don't believe in the tenets of idolatry. And you cannot say, well, I'm going to have a Christmas tree because, you know, I want to close a big business deal with my friend, and I know I could close the deal if he sees the Christmas tree in my house. That's wrong. By the way, assimilated Jews in Germany had Christmas trees. That's very well known, it's documented. Gershom Scholem, the great Jewish historian of Kabbalah, writes in his memoirs how in his youth, his parents were assimilated Jews, and they had a Christmas tree. Now, there's a certain debate among different Rishonim regarding the general issue of non-Jewish customs. The Bali Atosvos, the grandchildren, great-grandchildren of Rashi, or the leaders of the Jewish community in France in the Middle Ages, they claim that one may not adopt or imitate foolish customs found in the Gentile community, even if they are not idolatrous. The Ran, being a Nissim of Girona from Spain, the Maharik, Rav Yosef Colon Trabato of Italy, they dispute that. They insist that a foolish, from a halachic point of view, non-idolatrous custom is not prohibited as long as there is a reasonable non-idolatrous explanation for the custom and it does not entail immodest behavior. So a secular holiday which involves arayos, not such a good idea. Now, let's now bring some cases where everyone would agree, according to this, it's okay. Right, we did the Hindu office party on the one hand. So the Ramosh Isserles, who is the point of departure for Ashkenazic Jews out of Yom HaZeh, follows the Maharik. He says there's nothing wrong for a Jewish physician to wear a special garment identifying him as such, even though the custom originated in the Gentile community. Because it's a non-idolatrous, rational, reasonable custom. There's nothing wrong with that. Just because the people that invented special clothing for physicians or for attorneys, for anything, were Gentiles, doesn't mean the custom is no good, right? This is fine. This is not idolatrous, and this is not subsumed under the rubric of chukos ha'akum. That's going to be the key word here, right? No one's going to say that eating a turkey is avodah zarah. The question would be, is it chukos ha'akum, which literally means laws of the idolaters? Now, I will tell you, I have to be fleshly honest here, the Vilna Gaon was very strict in this regard, and he disputed the Ramah. He said that even secular, non-idolatrous customs can be adopted only if they have a Jewish origin. Having said that, so the Gro is a heavyweight, but there are others after the Gro that go back to the Ramah, and they say no. They dispute the Vilna Gaon, and they say that again, with these caveats. It's not immodest, it's not idolatrous, and there is something reasonable about it. Very interesting point. Someone was once trying to argue that wearing of a tie, since it is totally foolish, it is under chukos ha'akum, but most Orthodox Jews, myself included, who do wear ties, don't believe that it is under chukos ha'akum. That's simply the mode of dress in the West. And, okay. So what is Thanksgiving? Is it a religious holiday? Is it a purely secular one? Is it somewhere in between? So we see how the issue of Thanksgiving is going to be determined on how we categorize it. Now, Rabbi Broid has some very interesting research here. I'm going to quote some of it. There were certainly those American individuals who looked at Thanksgiving as a religious holiday. So now the question is going to be, does that determine what we consider or not? But some of the quotations are amazing. In 1844, there was a man named James H. Hammond, governor of South Carolina. He announced, 1844, a day of thanksgiving, humiliation, and prayer. And he exhorted all our citizens of all denominations to assemble at their respective places of worship, to offer up their devotions to God the Creator, and to His Son, Jesus Christ, Redeemer of the world. Now the Jews of Charleston, South Carolina, they protested. And they charged Hammond with such obvious discrimination and preference in the tenor of your proclamation as amounted to an utter exclusion of a portion of the people of South Carolina. They're saying, how dare you make this into a Christian exaltation of Jesus Christ we want to observe Thanksgiving, and we're not Christians. Hammond shot back. This is a quote. I have always thought it a settled matter that I lived in a Christian land, and that I was the temporary magistrate of a Christian people. Temporary. In other words, you know, Jesus will be the king of the world, and now we're just Tzchaye Shah. Okay. That in such a country, among such a people, meaning a Christian country with Christian people, I shall be publicly called to account, reprimanded, and required to make amends for acknowledging Jesus Christ as Redeemer of the world, I would not have believed possible if it had it not come to pass. Now, interestingly, the question now becomes, can the nature of a holiday change? So Breuer points out that since approximately 1860, time of the Civil War, such overtly Christian proclamations regarding Thanksgiving have not been signed. Okay, so in other words, this leads us to another fascinating question. If we were living in 1844, we'd have one answer, at least according to Hammond, of what Thanksgiving is. But in 2010, maybe there's another answer. So, granting the lenient view regarding Chukos Ha'akov, the question now can revolve around the following. Is Thanksgiving a Christian holiday the way Governor Hammond of South Carolina defined it? Or is it a secular holiday? And who decides? Now, someone might want to make the following claim. Someone can claim that, well, let's just see how American law today defines it, and maybe we should simply follow that. But there's a problem with that, as we will see. Because it is true that according to, and I'll take Rabbi Breuer's word for it, his article, he has a lot of interesting footnotes on this. According to the Supreme Court, Thanksgiving is a secular holiday. But we should point out that the Supreme Court's definition of secular holiday doesn't necessarily dovetail with what, according to Jewish law, a secular holiday is. How do you prove that? Well, if you could find a case that, according to Jewish law, certainly is a religious holiday, and yet the Supreme Court defines it as a secular holiday, we see that their definitions may not be determining for us. So in 1987, in the case called Kamek versus Wehi, the court decided that the holiday called Good Friday is a secular holiday. I don't think any of us here would say Good Friday is a secular holiday. So that's also something that you have to be very careful about. Similarly, the basis of the Supreme Court's permission for displays, both Christian Christmas and Hanukkah displays, that lack a religious theme, okay, now you have to discuss whether we even accept that phrase, is that both Christmas and Hanukkah are secular holidays. The cases were Lynch versus Donnelly, 1984, and Allegheny versus American Civil Liberties Union in 1987. Now, certainly, Jewish law considers both Hanukkah and Christmas religious holidays. So once again, is it possible halacha to distinguish within a holiday a religious component and a secular component? Right, that's another avenue of an investigation. Maybe, maybe not. So, the issue is still there. Now, we must also discuss the halachic nature of the celebration that is entailed on Thanksgiving. The question primarily revolves around the meal, turkey with cranberry sauce, and 30 years ago, one of the guys that was going up to Boston was arguing that the halacha of Thanksgiving is analogous to Kiddush. Kiddush is, you have Amiras Devarim Al Hayayin, right? You say words of praise to God over a cup of wine. This person was arguing only partly tongue-in-cheek. You have a Thanksgiving meal in front of the television while watching the football game. And he even suggested that watching the, watching the football game without the turkey and cranberry sauce, or turkey and cranberry sauce without the football game, you're not Yotze, you have to do it again. Okay. So now we're getting closer and closer. So today in America, or let's say post-World War II in America, where there certainly has been a secularization of many days. That's, I think, a fair comment we can all accept because of the consumer society in which people that don't know better would think that certain days are just days for sales in stores. So is this celebration, is deciding that I'm going to have a meal with turkey and cranberry sauce a violation of Chukos Akum? So I'm going to present three views on the matter. One is from Moshe Feinstein. He discussed the issue twice. In an early tshuva, Chelik Eben Ezer, Chelik Bey, Simon Yud Gimel, he maintained that Thanksgiving is not a religious holiday, but a secular one. Thus, he said, celebrations are permitted, but he did write as well that pious people, Bali Nefesh, should be strict. So I think in Ramosha's tshuva, you have a very interesting formulation. Now, technically, you know, if I have to say one word, mutter or usher, he would say mutter. But he understands that someone might come with a different view. Ramosha always had a very nuanced approach towards matters, and he didn't oversimplify. Now, he reinforced this view 39 years ago, almost 40 years ago, in 1981, the journal Amma Torah. This is a translation of what he wrote. On the issue of joining with those who think that Thanksgiving is like a holiday to eat a meal, since it is clear that according to their religious books, meaning Christian sources, the day is not mentioned as a religious holiday, right? It's not in the Catholic Church's list of holidays, and one is not obligated in a meal according to Gentile religious law. And since this is a day of remembrance to citizens of the country when they came to reside here, Moshe knows the story about the pilgrims and the Indians. Doesn't mention Squanto, though. Halacha sees no prohibition in celebrating with a meal or with the eating of turkey. Okay, so he paskins mutter. Nevertheless, he still has a caveat. It is prohibited to establish this as an obligation and religious commandment, and it remains a voluntary celebration now. Okay, so in other words, you just don't make it into your mitzvah. And from the continuation of the tshuva, he seems to apply something very interesting. You know, we Jews are not allowed to add holidays of our own, right? The whole discussion about Chanukah and Purim, you know, you need special sanction. So if someone would add Thanksgiving, you would have the same problem. Forget about Chukos Ha'akum. We don't add holidays to our calendar unless we have the rabbinic sanction. And that leads us to the whole issue in Israel, Yom Ha'atzmaut. We'll bracket that issue now. But we certainly cannot, even if we pass it, it's mutter to have turkey and cranberry sauce, we can't add a holiday to our religious consciousness. So the question is, but if you're going to observe it, how do you stop doing so? So Rav Henkin, who also lived in the Lower East Side, had a very innocent idea. He said, skip a year, 1 year. No, we never skip Pesach. We never skip Sukkot. It's just 1 year, don't do it. That's a very innocent idea. And just not doing it for 1 year is indicative of the fact that you are not making it as a formal, obligatory, yearly performance. Henkin, of course, was Ramosha's contemporary and compatriot on the Lower East Side. Okay. Yes?
I don't know for sure about it, but I just have to say, because somebody has to say it.
Yeah.
The murmuring amongst the crowd between husbands and wives about, if you don't cook Thanksgiving turkey this year, forget it, we're not talking to each other for a whole year.
Oh, okay. Okay, so that's interesting. So, but right, so we're so in a tsunami, so I don't know how that would be... I don't know how that would be dealt with, but I guess he said there has to be, that has to be, in other words, his idea is that there has to be some indication that it's not making it into an obligatory, maybe you have takeout 1 year. Look, if Jews go on Christmas to Chinese restaurants, right? So, I don't know, did anyone ever say,
is that a mitzvah now?
The Chinese, right? That's, I just heard Elena Kagan, right? Someone told me that when she was testifying, they said, where were you December 25th? So she said, where all Jews were at a Chinese restaurant. Right, so maybe someone should mechadesh that we should go to Chinese restaurants, Black Kosher, of course, for Thanksgiving. They put turkey in the chow mein. Anyway, so that's from Moshe's view. Rabbi Yitzchak Huttner, the Rashi of Chaim Berlin, his work, Pachad Yitzchak, he disputed with Moshe, and he was the Machmer view. So again, the further, this is what I found, the further you leave Brooklyn, if you draw concentric circles, the more you will, people are generally not familiar with the view. But again, as I say, you just have to present all the views. And then, so we, even if we will end up observing it, I think we should be intellectually open enough to hear all the views. So let's hear his view. He was against Thanksgiving. He argued that the establishment of an annual holiday that is based upon the Christian calendar, that's a very wide range. In other words, Thanksgiving, the Roman, again, whether we agree or not, let's just hear what he says. He says, at the very least, he says it's closely associated with idol worship and thus prohibited. In other words, it's such a celebration becomes a holiday through annual observance. So he also agrees the annual observance is a very important point, and celebrating Gentile holidays is obviously wrong. Rabbi Breuer quotes, he concluded, in truth, one must distance oneself from these types of customs and even from those events that are similar to these types of customs. The truth is simple and obvious. Again, but the question is, who claims that this is a Christian custom? So Rabbi Breuer has all these very interesting sources. This seems to have been really a shift as the years go on. I'm going to read just a couple of sources. This is in 1789. This is the original proposal for a formal day in the new United States government for Thanksgiving. In 1789, Congressman Elias Bodino of New Jersey proposed to Congress a resolution urging President Washington to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer. Very interesting. The original, like we saw with Hammond, the original proclamations, it just wasn't achila, it was tefillah. Tefillah to who? To Jesus. To be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many and signal favors of the Almighty God, especially by affording them an opportunity to establish a constitution. Sometimes he's actually changed what Thanksgiving is. I thought Thanksgiving was because, the pilgrims had no food, and therefore it was a tremendous famine, and they finally had enough food, and they celebrated with the Indians. He's already putting in other dinim here. He's putting in the constitution of government, and expect to hear the next line, by the people, for the people. No, the people doesn't have that. Of government for their safety and happiness.
By that time, they already thought that it was Hashkafah practice.
Okay. So then, this is President Washington's first Thanksgiving proclamation. Now, therefore, I do recommend and assign Thursday, the 26th day of November next, to be devoted by the people of these states to the service of that great and glorious being who is the beneficent author of all the good that was, that is, or that will be. Haya Oveiya. And we may then all unite in rendering unto him our sincere and humble thanks for his kind care and protections of the people of the country, the Hashkacha, previous to the becoming a nation, for the signal and manifold mercies and the favorable interpositions of his providence. Is he talking, I don't know if any Revolutionary War buffs there, talking about how they made it through Valley Forge? Is he talking about the God put mistakes into the mind of General Howe? Who knows? And the favorable interpositions of his providence in the course and conclusion of the late war, for the great degree of tranquility, union, and plenty which we have since enjoyed, for the peaceable and rational manner in which we have been enabled to establish constitutions of government for our safety and happiness, and particularly the national one now lately instituted for the civil and religious, he goes on and on here, for the civil and religious liberty with which we are blessed, and the means we have of acquiring and diffusing useful knowledge, and in general for all the great and various favors which he has been pleased to confer us. Anyway, that was George Washington. Now, very interesting, one of the points that Droid made, I think, is very germane. So we basically, if one wants to continue observance of Thanksgiving, you'll have to make the claim that, well, I don't really care what people thought in 1844, things have shifted. Is there any other example of a holiday that has shifted from a religious one to a secular one? So this is a very important question. The answer is yes. Which holiday? New Year's Day. New Year's Day originally was considered a Christian holiday. It's the eighth day of Jesus' life. He was born on Christmas, right? The day of his bris was New Year's Day. And there are even discussions here. Trumas HaDeshen, a medieval commentator writing nearly 500 years ago, classifies New Year as a religious holiday. This is quoted by the Ramon Yoredeya, Simon Kuf Kufmem Ches, Sifyut Beis. He refers to January 1st as the eighth day of Christmas. But Rav Moshe, his tshuva, when he talks about Thanksgiving, says New Year's is like Thanksgiving. That's a very important point, right? So in other words, I'll read Rav Moshe again. He says, the first day of the year for them, meaning January 1st, and Thanksgiving are not prohibited according to law. So Rav Moshe understood that things can change. In other words, the definition of a day, whether it's a secular holiday or a religious holiday, can change as we go on. So now, I think we can, yeah?
The question is one.
Yeah.
Go back just a little bit, asked quickly by the Machabitzah.
Yeah.
Did he say that the sole reason for making it Christian was that it was based on Roman calendar? But the other question is about this one, and I'm puzzled.
Yeah.
January 1st is actually 7 days later.
No, it's 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 1.
Isn't that like 10, 9, 8, 6, and
10? No, no. If you were born on Wednesday, no, that's not correct. If you were born on Wednesday, the bris is the following Wednesday. What? A bris is a week to the day from the birth. My son, let's say, if someone's born on a Tuesday, right, that's his first day of life. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. So, 25, that was the first day of Jesus' life. 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 1. Okay, so that's clear. That clearly is his eighth day of life. That's not disputed. Yeah. Yeah?
Silly question, but in Washington's letter,
yeah.
You mentioned that he chose November
26th.
It's Friday. This year is Friday.
No. So I'm sorry. I actually did not get into that. Rabbi Droid said originally it was a different day. The idea of having, The idea of having the day, what we have at the end of November. Well, no, it says setting November 26, 1789. I don't know. Now there are these algorithms. What day of the week was November 26, 1789? Okay. What day of the week was it?
I understand that.
Maybe it was, I don't know.
Would it be wrong to, yeah, since Thanksgiving is a secular holiday, and if you don't, yeah, want to celebrate on that particular day, to celebrate it on Shabbat and have a Shabbat Thanksgiving dinner?
Oh. All right, so well, you know, one of the things that's interesting, actually, one of the things Rav Moshe discussed, and Rabbi Gord has in his notes, is that Rav Moshe was against, for example, making changes in our daily schedule because of this day. So in other words, again, I'm not telling anyone here, but for example, the discussion is it appropriate to have a later minyan on Thanksgiving? Here, by the way, I have to raise the question. There's a famous Divrei Yaakov. He was known as the Viska Eloi. And he came to America, and here's the story I heard, that he came to America from wherever, from Lithuania, and he couldn't get over the fact that in these shuls, Lower East Side, during the week, there'll be like a 6:20 minion, and on Sunday, it'll be 9 o'clock. And he went crazy. He tore whatever hair he had left out of his head, and no one listened. He said, this is America. We sleep late, and so the silly joke is, that's why he's called the Visca Eloy, because it drove him to drink. And anyway, that has actually other issues about making other changes because of Thanksgiving. Okay, but by the way, one of the things is that what we have it now, it actually was changed by President Roosevelt. It is now the fourth Thursday in November. So there actually was, in other words, there was a time when it was the last Thursday. That will not happen anymore. So if the first day of November is the Thursday, right? So there are five Thursdays that year. So the last Thursday will be November 29th. In that type of year, Thanksgiving will be November 22nd. So in other words, your point is interesting to the extent that Thanksgiving, the day has been fluid over the years. So anyway, let me now conclude by mentioning some ideas from Rav Soloveitchik, Zichrono Livracha. So the Rav ruled like Rav Moshe Feinstein, right? And people from Boston all know that he said Thanksgiving is not a Gentile holiday, it's not a religious holiday, it's the secular, it's a beautiful motive. It's the motive of Hakaras HaTov. And we're thankful to live in America. And that's permissible to eat turkey on Thanksgiving. That's another issue. One of my ancestors, the Shalach HaKadosh, Rabbi Shai Halevi Horowitz, he was against eating turkey in general because of the whole question of the Masorah on that bird. You know, for animals, why we have chewing the cud and split hooves. For fish, we have fins and scales. For birds, it's simply just a tradition that this bird is okay and that bird is not okay. So what happens with a turkey? Okay, but the Rav made two claims. Obviously, if somebody claims that a Jew cannot eat turkey, he can't have a turkey dinner on Thanksgiving, because it's always us. So the Rav claimed, number one, turkey is in general a mutter, and there's no problem with Thanksgiving. And the Shechter, Rabbi Mine pointed out, the Rav said this was the position of his father, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, as well. Now, I want to end with two comments. One is a comment by Dr. Avi Feldblum, who was in the Rav Shir on Thanksgiving 1976. So the Rav scheduled an early Shir that day in order to take an early plane back from YU to Boston. So, having said that, Avi Feldblum pointed out that while Thanksgiving was of sufficient importance to change the fixed time for the Shir, for the beginning of the Shir, it was not sufficiently important enough to end Shir if the Rav had not finished what he wanted to say. Because on Thanksgiving Day, 1976, the Rav spent about 5 hours grossed in silent thought about a certain tosis he was learning with the students. And he had a problem about the conceptual substructure of the tosis, and then he worked it through. So after the second or third time that the Shamish passed a note to the Rav, you know, Rebbe, you're gonna miss your plane, he turned to the Shamish and said, no one can leave here until we have understood what it is that the Bali Atosas are saying. So in other words, the Thanksgiving is fine, but let us not obscure the axiological importance of Limud HaTorah in the Jew's life. The Torah learning has to go on. And finally, let me make the following point. Like many areas of Jewish law in which there is a divergence of opinions, different individuals follow the practices of their community, their family, their Rav, while respecting as halakhically permissible other communities' practices. And this often is very hard for, you know, a more open community, because the tolerant people have to be tolerant of the intolerant. The intolerant are never going to be tolerant of the tolerant because they're intolerant by definition. But the tolerant have to be tolerant of the intolerant, and that I think for that ability to recognize and accept as legitimate the conduct of fellow observant Jews sanctioned by rabbinic authority, I think for that we have to give thanksgiving to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that God gave us the scope, the sweep, and the depth to realize that there are many shitos and many ways for Avodas Hashem. Thank you very much. Anyway, so it's, yeah?
In Canada, we don't have Thanksgiving in November.
Yes?
In October.
Oh.
And it is not celebrated as like a big national holiday
right.
The way it is here in America.
Right. In fact, you know, Rabbi Broid has a comment on that. Let me see if I can find it. Second. Yes. Canada, I'm going to quote Rabbi Broid. There's a wealth of information in this article. Canada celebrated its first Thanksgiving in 1572, even before the American Thanksgiving. But the date of its modern Thanksgiving observance was not fixed until 1957, when the last Thursday in October was agreed on. There still is no common agreement on the appropriate food to eat. What did you have in there?
We didn't celebrate.
Okay.
It was a day where the banks were closed.
Okay, so that's what he says. Large numbers of individuals simply do not celebrate the holiday, even in Canada. Indeed, there are some provinces that do not treat it as a holiday. That's interesting.
I don't know about that.
You were from Toronto? From
no. Montreal.
Montreal, okay, that's Quebec. So,
right.
So.
No, they had it, but it wasn't like here.
Oh,
and,
that's interesting.
It's celebrated on the calendar now as, I believe, the first or second Monday in October.
The second Monday.
Mm-hmm. Not
Montreal, the end of November is free.
Oh, because he said the last Thursday.
No, it's the second Monday.
They changed it.
It's
the second Monday.
There's somebody from the former Soviet Republic of Georgia, Julian Margalashvili. She actually wrote an article called Thanksgiving, the Canadian Way in the Philadelphia Inquirer on November 9th, 1984. So now you can check everything up. Yes?
Are there any book in the literature about some of the ultra-modern approaches that some others have taken, specifically the remnant of the Native American people who turned it into a day of Shiva?
Uh-huh, that's very interesting. I am not, that's a very interesting question. I'm not aware of that. Generally, let me make a general point. I discovered this when I ran the Yeshiva University trip to Japan, and I just wanted to check out the whole issue of, you know, going to the Buddhist temples, which I decided, you know, we should stay away from. There's very little halachic literature on contemporary non-Jewish, Christian, or Muslim religions. Very, very little. You know, there's, look, some a whole question of Buddhism. Is Buddhism idolatry, right? Is it polytheism? What is it? You know, the Buddha is just really, it's like, you know, what the Medrash calls chanoch. It's like a way of enlightenment. What does that have to do with any god? So is it an atheistic? You know, some of the questions that we raise aren't even raised by some of the religions. The only thing is, again, let's say with respect to those temples, even if something is not technically polytheism, it's still an opposing religion. You know, so in that sense, Avodah Zarah, right, it's not just polytheistic, it is Zarah, it is strange, it's not what we have. I will tell you one thing, just free association here. In the Indians, or we would say now, to be politically correct, the Native Americans, until around the year 1900, you can find in halachic literature here and there, maybe the Indians are the 10 tribes. Maybe. So, probably one of the wackiest citations I ever saw was someone that tried to claim that the Indians actually maybe are. So how could you prove that? The only way you could prove it is try to find some semblance of remnants of Jewish customs. So you know, like the cartoons, Indians say, Yahoo? So they said, oh, it's some type of derivation of, you know, our name for God. So, you know, you could always say anything, but I'm not aware of any literature on that. Yes?
For what it's worth, yeah. They pretty much disproved that just using genetic analysis.
Yeah, for sure. Right? I mean, if you look at, you know, Hillel Halkin wrote a very interesting book. He was searching for, like, the, you know, for the 10 tribes. And right. I mean, basically, I think even from, like, the year 1900 or so, I think I once read that for 200 years, people have wondered about that. But for over 100 years ago, it's been already, off the books. Okay, I hope this was an enlightening discussion. And okay.
Ich weiß nicht, was das ist.